Wake up. Wake up. It's Saints week. I'm off to New Orleans. But first, we wrap. Damon and I wrapping on the Niners. Maybe a little, maybe even a little Giants Dodgers. Maybe a little NFL week two. We got a lot to get to. Wake up.
Yeah, good morning. It is great to have you here. It's Friday, September 12th. Again, I'm just going to be hanging out on the couch with my family tonight. Fish is back out on tour. Maybe I'll get the concert. Larry's about to have one of the best weekends he's going to have all year long. He and Kevin are off to New Orleans tonight. They're going to be at LSU tomorrow night. They're going to freaking the Superdome for 49ers and Saints on Sunday. Lots of great eating in restaurants and drinking in your future. I'm excited. I'm not going to lie, Larry, and I'm not afraid to say it. I'm a little bit jealous. Wish I could go with you, man.
Well, you know what? To make you less jealous, I'll say that we're landing in Houston on the way there. Okay. So, and then it's going to be incredibly sticky and hot. I mean, I've been to New Orleans in November. I was there with you. It was February and it was beautiful, right? It was perfect. In September, it is going to be a sweat box. I mean, it's going to be sweaty. It's going to be sweaty. I told Kev, get ready to sweat. But he, you know, Kev went to Japan earlier this month. So he's like, Dad, it's going to be nothing compared to Japan. I'm like, well, I don't know. It's probably going to be pretty comparable, actually. So, but we're looking forward to it.
At any point in Japan, did you drink yourself to the point where you thought you broke your own liver? You know, and because that doesn't help the humidity.
And that's kind of what happened. Humidity is good drinking weather, though. I will say that.
Well, you know, good luck to you both. I really wish you the very best of luck. Bring water, mix in a sidecar of a little water, and bring aspirin, because you're going to New Orleans, baby, and you are going to need it. It's a little bit of a stress test for you, your relationship with your son, your relationship with alcohol, your relationship with food. It's a stress test. And Larry, that's the theme of this trip to New Orleans for the San Francisco 49ers. This is a massive stress test on the organization, on the choices it's made, on the choices that it hasn't made. You know, they haven't gotten an awful lot right at quarterback in the 9 years under Kyle Shanahan. And even as Purdy was emerging as, hey, you finally have an answer here, even that was debated. Is he the right guy for the job? Is he the right guy for the job? They went way out of their way to bring in Mac Jones for a situation that they fell into early this year. Something was wrong with Purdy. He's going to be gone a couple of weeks. Do you have the right guy to get you through that? So here we are with another easy to see total evaluation of what they think of quarterbacks, who they select to go into business with, and how they groom them to be successful. This is going to be fascinating because I could see Mac Jones going in two different directions, right? I don't think he's just going to be like down the middle average. I think he's actually going to be very good or very bad. And either way, you're going to get a headache. Either way, this stress test comes with a headache. Either way, you're going to get a headache in New Orleans. It's just, it's going to happen. So this is really a fascinating early stress test for the 49ers and all of their ideas and what they've built and what they think they really are. This is a big one.
Oh, I mean, they're all big, right? But I mean, you know, the thing about this one, Damon, that's interesting is I thought Kyle Shanahan had a genius game plan in week one. And you say, well, what was his game plan? They committed to the run. They played complimentary football. The Niners ran the ball 61% of the time in the third quarter. On drive 6 and 7 in the third quarter, they just totally committed to the run. And I asked Robert Saleh about it yesterday. I said, you know, you got a young defense. How important is it that, you know, that Kyle did that and committed to the run and that you guys had a 16-minute time of possession advantage over Seattle in week one? And he's like, you know, it's an astute point. He's like, it's really true is that we, you know, we need that. Our young defense needs to be kind of protected a little bit. So, you know, here's week two. And I think the game plan has got to be the Saints offseason bugaboo. Their problem was they were really bad against the run last year. Week one, they weren't any better. No. They gave up 5-4 a carry to the Arizona Cardinals. And I think it's really clear if the Niners are smart, and I think they are, they're going to have a run heavy game plan. Jordan James was back at practice this week. He's healthy from the finger injury. You know, you got Garendo, you got Robinson, you got CMC, you got, you know, now you got Jordan James, you got a handful of backs. Run the heck out of the football. The other stat that has to be thrown out here, and this is kind of a scary stat. Since Brock Purdy has been in San Francisco in years 1, 2, and 3, so that's 22, 23, 24, basically Brock Purdy as a Niner coming into this year, Damon. The Niners' offensive line in those 3 years has been both the 8th worst in pressure percentage allowed, so they're a bottom 10 offensive line as far as the pressures that they're allowing.
Right, and he just faced the most pressure of any game he's ever played in.
But they're also 9th best in sack percentage allowed, and that screams out that Brock Purdy makes this totally mediocre, if you even want to call it that, offensive line look way, 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 way better than they are, because he can move around and he can avoid pressure. Now he goes out, you bring in Mac Jones. Do you see what the need to run the ball? Because the Saints, the one thing the Saints can do, they had 5 sacks of Kyler Murray last week. They can still rush the passer. And the Niners, I don't think, are a great pass blocking line, and they've gotten away with it because Purdy's so elusive and he's got such great feel in the pocket for where the pressure's coming from. So he knows where it's coming from, how to escape it, and he can often get away from it. Mac Jones does not have those gifts. And so I think, Damon, Kyle Shanahan better commit to a heavy dose of the run. If the Saints jumped ahead, let's just say, and the Niners have to abandon the run game and throw the ball, I think they're going to have a hard time in that loud dome blocking this defensive line led by Cam Jordan and Granderson off the edges. It's a 5-2 front. It's a very big defensive line.
Yeah, I think
If the Niners can't run it really successfully, I think they're going to lose this game.
If they get to open the gates on Mac Jones could be in a lot of trouble quickly. So,
Niner quarterbacks have been hit on pace, Damon, to be hit 136 times in the regular season. That's a lot. Brock Purdy took 8 hits in week one. What amazed me is that Shanahan, Damon, has said, I think the line played pretty well. I thought my line played pretty well. Really? You have Christian McCaffrey, and you averaged 3 yards a carry, and you gave up pressure on 60% of Brock's dropbacks, and he was hit 8 times. So right.
you had a decent
day. How could that be a good O-line?
Right. You had a decent day on the ground because you committed to it and you stayed with it, even though it wasn't popping very big. But yeah, I mean, you can't say my offensive line had a really good day and then talk about how your quarterback might miss a month. You know, right. What I mean, this just doesn't, that doesn't line up. So the offensive line is what it is. We all knew it was something that they needed to improve upon greatly. They decide to improve upon it incrementally at best. And they have already found themselves on QB2 in week 2. It's awfully early in the year to get to QB2. Drew Dolman might have saved this. By the way, Larry, I don't mean to play the let me tell you how right I was about something here. Did anybody do more conversations about Armon Membu than me? Did anybody say trade up for him? Trade all assets for him? He's the best right tackle in football after one game.
Damon, I was yelling and screaming throughout much of April that Shamar Stewart was better than Mikel Williams and they should go for Shamar Stewart. Shamar Stewart was one of the highest rated rookies in the entire league after week one. I mean, he was just totally dominating. And Mikel Williams, even though he's got a lot of potential as an interior rusher, no tackles, no pressures, no sacks, no anything.
39 total snaps. He might have pushed the pocket a bit.
He did. You know, he was, he's better. Believe me, I want to be right, like everybody wants to be right, but I'm not going to be blind. I'm not rooting against this kid, and I'm not blind to his impact. Him and Yetur Gross-Matos, I think, have a great future together rushing from the inside. And Robert Saleh said it best. He's a run defender at defensive end on first and second down. He's an interior pass rusher on third downs, and we think that he's got huge potential as an interior pass rusher. And I understand all of that. All I'm saying is I think Shamar Stewart was better.
Right. Well, that's the thing. When you think you're in a window, potential that will materialize a year or two from now really doesn't help you today.
Yeah.
And the Niners present themselves as if they're a today football team. And maybe they are. Or maybe this is Shanahan saying, hey, the new three-year window is now open. Well, you know, your three-year window opens in your quarterback only lasted four quarters until you're looking for another one. And another thing, Larry, too, again, I want to be positive. I do think they're going to go beat the Saints. I think the Saints are a perfect opponent for them. Like you said, the same game plan that got them through a Seattle game can maybe get them through this one, too. As long as Mac Jones doesn't turn into a turnover machine, I like the 49ers' chances to be 2-0 by the time we're back on Monday doing another episode of Wake Up here, Larry. So I want to stay positive. I do.
Yeah.
I do. But the decisions, the processes, the things that this teams go through, especially at the position of quarterback, it makes me say, what is the plan? What is the plan? Think about the quarterbacks that you and I have talked about, have discussed, have blown hours of conversation on, who, you know, Tanner Mordecai and Carter Bradley, and these guys are through training camp and they're through preseason and we're looking at them and we're hey, that's not very good. Hey, that is pretty good. You could win with that. You could. And now here it is. It's time to officially bring one of those guys into the mix. And the only guys in the mix are people that have never been associated with the San Francisco 49ers. Why have training camp? Why have preseason if all the players that you're spending countless man hours on and giving precious reps to become total non-factors? We don't even work them out when we're looking for the new position again.
Are you talking about Adrian Martinez versus?
Yes. Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, this is a little baffling. It's like, they had Mordecai, they had Carter Bradley, right? I mean, not that Carter Bradley is like, you know, a star, but Carter Bradley is the son of Gus Bradley. And then suddenly both of them came up with injuries. And then they were like, you know, not on the roster. And then both of them were waived, I believe, with an injury designation or settlement of some kind. And now they've gone out and signed Adrian Martinez. Now, I will say this. I'm an Adrian Martinez fan. And I have been going back to Nebraska.
You love third-string quarterbacks. Historically,
you know what I like? Third-string quarterbacks. I like athletic quarterbacks who are smart, tough, and competitive. This guy's playing his best football right now. He was the MVP of the UFL Bowl. Shanahan just went on the radio yesterday and was like, hey, look, if we got to go with this guy, we're totally confident that he can do the job. Adrian Martinez is not – he's no slouch.
No, I hear you.
He's a good athlete. We're talking about like 4-5 speed. Really, John Lynch said it best. The guy's kind of a winner, man. He's kind of a winner. I mean, I do not fear Adrian Martinez, but I'm with you. Where's Tanner Mordecai? Don't you think Tanner Mordecai, after 2 years in this offense,
right,
would probably know more and be able to do more than Adrian Martinez 2 weeks into this offense?
And if not, isn't that an indictment on what you're doing to groom guys, get them prepared for their careers, or you're bringing in players that are total non-starters, and through 2 years of a lot of investment in them, you've got nothing to show for it? You know, after 2 years of investment into Tanner Mordecai, all they have to show for it is Adrian Martinez.
Who, I mean, I like, but I mean, you know, I mean, it's once again, I think Adrian Martinez, it's safe to say, Damon, is going to be limited by the fact that he's been in the offense for 2 weeks.
Exactly.
It's going to be very vanilla, I would think.
Well, to me, it's just what's odd is, you know, you go down to training camp. I go down to training camp. We all are focused on all these players on the field. Let's talk about all of them. This is every single 49er player is in this circle. So you would assume that all of your season problems will be solved by somebody in this circle. But no, whenever the 49ers catch an injury anywhere. They're really not going to their practice squad looking for answers. They're always going outside of their own circle looking for answers to problems as they occur. Why aren't there solutions to their problems in-house?
Well, there may be an injury there. I mean, they did waive both those quarterbacks, Bradley and Mordecai, with injury
designations, settlement. Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, they settled with those guys. There were some injuries. Now, I don't know if they're minor or if they're major, but yeah, if I would imagine they're major, because if otherwise Tanner Mordecai didn't play half bad, and he obviously has been in your system a lot longer than Carter Bradley or Adrian Martinez. Martinez only been around for a couple of weeks. Now, I do like Martinez. I think he's playing his best ball right now. I think I talked to him in the locker room the other day. He's everything that you want to see in a quarterback. He's athletic. He's smart. He's humble. He's tough. He's, you know, he's not soft. You know what I mean? He's a real athlete. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I'm intrigued by his potential, but I got to think that Tanner Mordecai, if you really were going to, if somebody was going to be forced to play this weekend, I think Tanner Mordecai would be better than Adrian Martinez if he's healthy.
Just based on reps and familiarity, I would agree. And by the way, I'm not the Tanner Mordecai guy that you are. I was not impressed by him in the preseason. I thought Carter Bradley was better. But it's just odd how, you know, the 49ers dump a huge investment into their starting quarterback, don't reinvest in the offensive line to protect him, and have already lost their starting quarterback before the fifth quarter of football begins in a very long season. And like
we should talk about that too, by the way, because a lot of people are using that as a way to say, hey, Brock Purdy's not the guy and Brock Purdy's fragile and this and that.
Well, there's a little element of, I'm a little worried. Here's the thing. We do have frequent injuries now on this guy, and they are coming up.
It's turf toe, which is kind of random. The play that he got hurt on was kind of random.
How variant is it, Larry? Is it?
Well, I mean, it sounds like it's a week to week thing, according to Lynch, as far as the timeline. I mean, turf toe. I mean, I heard somebody yesterday on the radio sound like a total fool. It wasn't on KMBR. Let's just say that somebody was talking about how, you know, it's like so ignorant to this market. They're like, nobody's ever had a serious toe injury. It's like, dude, Patrick Willis's career, Hall of Fame career, ended because of turf toe. Turf toe can be literally not a big deal, or it can be career ending. It's a very serious thing, and it can be very, very painful. And for a guy like Brock, who's one of the greatest traits that he has is his escapability, turf toe could be, you know, a career altering type injury. So, you know, but as far as like, do I think that the injuries show that Brock Purdy's fragile? I don't.
I think
Brock Purdy's missed two starts. He's missed two starts.
He gets hit too much. He gets hit too much.
But I mean, he Mac Jones is probably going to get hit more, right? Because he's actually mobile. I just think that the real issue is not necessarily with Brock. The issue is that the Eagles have their version of Brock, and they've built a fortress around him. And the Niners have, you know, a really good young quarterback in Purdy, but look at this line. You've got Trent Williams at 38 years old. McKivitz is a solid right tackle. I won't rip on him. Pooney is a solid right guard. Jake Brendel was a replacement level center 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And to still be going with Jake Brendel at 32 and then Ben Bartsch is also has a hard time, excuse me, staying healthy. I just think that, you know, and by the way, Ben Bartsch hurt his knee, but he was back at practice this week. Why? Because he's no idiot. He knows Connor Colby is really, really close to stepping in. And Connor Colby started 50 games at Iowa. So once he steps in, he's probably not stepping out. I think Bartsch knows that. But, I mean, the 49ers need to invest in their offensive line and build that fortress around Brock Purdy and give him that That's, I mean, they could do the same way the Eagles won with Hurts, the Niners can do it with Purdy, but they can't do it behind a makeshift line.
Yeah, look,
they got to build that thing up. They've ignored it, Damon. They've ignored the O-line.
And I think that that's come back to haunt them. You know, it really has. And the lesson of the entirety of last year's postseason was trench warfare. The 49ers sort of ignored the lesson on one side of the line of scrimmage and really focused on it on the other side. And they won in week one without an awful lot of the focus players really showing up. So when I'm looking for, you know, positive steps forward here in week two, make a play, Alfred Collins. Make a play, C.J. West. Make a play, Mikel Williams. I wonder if Nick Martin is playing in this game. I hope he's dressed, and he is. I want to see D. Winters to continue to play well. Upton Stout's second appearance on a football field is something I'm going to be really, really interested in. Siegel, again, keep this up, man. The beginning of your career is off to something really good. But all the focus, we just know it because this is what the league is going to be on what Mac Jones does. All of it. That's all we're going to be talking about. And this is where the headache's going to come from, Larry, because it's going to be painful no matter what happens. I was sort of like deconstructing how 49ers fans think and feel and applying it to all this. And look, if Jones throws up all over himself, number one, Brock, just being the guy who he is going to want to run back in there and save everyone. And with a turf toe, him trying to get back early before his injury is recovered from would not be good. Also, if Jones throws up all over himself, I'm assuming you're losing that game. So losses means everyone's pissed off. If the 49ers lose more than they win, everyone's angry. Now, what happens if Mac Jones plays great, though? What happens if Mac Jones looks better than Brock Purdy? What happens if
Mac Jones to play well?
What happens if Kyle Shanahan starts thinking, I mean, this is the guy I wanted in front of Trey Lance all along?
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think there is a level that Mac Jones could play at that would make 49er fans go, wait a second, he's the guy? Because, I mean, one thing about Mac Jones, Mac Jones was great at Alabama. He's a very good processor. He's played on time. To me, if you said what was the toughest practice all summer, I thought it was the joint practice day one with Denver. And I thought Mac Jones outplayed Brock Purdy that day. And I thought it was pretty decisive. Mac Jones plays on time and he knows what he can process what he sees. And but I think being around Purdy has helped him a lot.
Was Purdy playing against the Denver ones and Jones was playing against the Denver twos though? And that was that came from.
Yeah, that's, I wasn't, you know, it is what it is, right? But Jones looked really good. And he played on time and the windows were tight. We're 20 minutes into our live stream. Everybody hit like and subscribe on both channels. You know, Damon and I have been doing this after every Niner game on Mondays and Fridays, and then we'll do this whenever the Niners play. So if the Niners do play on a Monday night, we'll do it on a Tuesday. If they play on Sunday, we'll be on here on Monday. If they play on Thursday, we'll be here on Friday. You guys kind of get the routine. But welcome to Wake Up, and we are brought to you, of course, and we jumped right into the conversation, but we're brought to you by, on my end, Pig and a Pickle, the best barbecue in all of Northern California. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. or until they run out, and they do run out. So get some brisket chili. Tell them Krug sent you. Also, this 49er football season is presented by Sleeper on the Krug Show side, the fastest growing fantasy platform in the world. It's a one-stop shop. You get blazing fast news, real-time stats, group chat, season-long leagues, and, of course, Sleeper picks for fantasy, for daily fantasy. So use promo code Larry, and Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100. Links in the description. Terms and conditions apply. And good luck to all of you guys if you're making lineups this week. And Damon, go ahead.
While you're on the road, if you've eaten all that spicy Cajun food at the LSU game and you know you're going to eat another big Cajun style dinner after the 49ers and Saints game and you just need a little taste of home, Larry.
Yes.
You know that there's an Ike's in New Orleans.
Really?
An Ike's in New Orleans. Yes, there is. It's one of the cities he's expanded to as Ike's Sandwich Empire expands throughout this nation of ours.
Do I go beignet? Do I go Damon Bruce? Damon Bruce, beignet.
Look at it this way. It's Ike's. You can probably put a beignet on a Damon Bruce. You know, I mean, it really is. You can do it however you want there.
I like the one thing I love about the Damon Bruce, and I really do. You know, I'm not saying this just because it is your namesake sandwich. I actually think it's a really good sandwich. It's got a gigantic onion ring with fried batter in the midst of it. And so it gives you that crunch. It also has some really good barbecue sauce.
You went to a steakhouse last night. You came home with leftovers. You made a sandwich out of your leftovers. What's that? That's what we came up with when we did the Damon Bruce. So thank you very, very much to Ike's for sponsoring us over here on the Pluse. And once again, our good friends at the Dubliner. We can all get together with Larry in New Orleans this weekend, but hopefully Larry can get together with us on October 4th at 4:20 at the Dubliner West Portal in San Francisco. We're going to be getting together and hopefully everyone can come and join us that day. It should be really, really good time. And thanks as always.
That's October the 4th.
October the 4th.
October the 4th.
It's the Saturday after the 49ers and Rams game. Nice. It's the Saturday after Brock Purdy returns as QB1 to take on Stafford and the Rams.
We hope. It could be the Saturday after Mac Jones wins his fifth in a row or something like that.
Wouldn't that be again? And if we are living in that world, Larry, I mean, someone's up here. Boomer T. Damon's got the worst takes, dude. Does the suppository stuff go up? Is that, hey, I'm willing to ask the questions that other people aren't, baby. I'm willing to say things like, what if this becomes a problem? And, you know,
it's never a problem. Having two quarterbacks is not a problem.
Well, if you're paying QB2 $53 million a year, Larry, that's a fucking problem.
Well, that is a problem. But the one thing that the Niners did, I thought it was very subtle, but it was a really smart move by the Niners. First of all, we had a number of topics in the offseason. What was the best move of the offseason? I kept saying with you and other people, I thought one of the most underrated moves was getting Mac Jones. I wasn't saying it for the injury factor. I was saying it more for the motivation factor, because I think Brock Purdy is so competitive that if you put a real quarterback there that can compete with him, that's a good thing. So I liked it from that standpoint, but I didn't expect to see Mac Jones look as good as he looked this summer. He really looked good. The ball came out with accuracy on time. Then when we talked to him, it was really obvious. This guy's really cerebral. He spends a lot of time on it. I'll tell you what opened my eyes was when Mac Jones told us how he trained in Jacksonville before training camp in pads by himself. You know, because I mean, that shows a level of dedication to put on pads in Jacksonville by yourself to kind of run, but you play the game in pads. So I thought it was genius on his part. I think he understands what happened to Sam Darnold was a thing that can happen to him as well. And I think he's better than Sam Darnold. I really do. I think he's better than Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's a better athlete, bigger guy, stronger arm, faster. But you know what? Mac Jones is smarter, better processor, and I think is more accurate and more dependable. So we'll see. But
And this is your
playing
life,
bad right? is possible, but playing great is possible, Damon. It's possible that Mac Jones will go to New Orleans with a strong run game behind him and he'll make all the throws. Because he's completed in this summer. I'm not shitting you. Roughly 80% of his passes.
Well,
what happens if in this game, Damon, he completes, let's just say 70% and throws for 300 yards and the Niners win big? Will people be saying, get rid of Brock?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, yeah, people say get rid of Brock when Brock wins football games.
I know, but I mean, lots of people say it.
That is going to happen. I can already feel Joseph Ehrenberg firing up the, I told you, the super chat.
Wrong. They paid the wrong guy. He's in here right now probably saying that.
I think that Mac Jones, what kind of throws is he making? And what kind of throws is Shanahan going to ask him to make? You know, is it going to all be in the 12-yard box, simplistic, game-managing sort of 49er football? Or is Mac Jones going to say, like, this is my life, this is my moment, and I'm going to come out here and I'm going to take this job and I'm going to be the man and I'm going to show everybody what New England walked away from incorrectly and what Jacksonville moved on incorrectly. And I came here to the Niners for this moment, for this opportunity. And even though it ain't Brandon Ayuk or DeMarcus Robinson, and, you know, Juwan Jennings is somewhere in between hurt and angry, we don't know. I'm going to have a great fucking day of football. And if he does that, I'm telling you, things around here are going to get more interesting than anybody really wanted them to be going into week three against Arizona. You know, so this is just a fascinating moment in time. You know, what's the old Yogi Berra? When you get to the fork in the road, take it. Well, here comes a fork in the road. So get ready for that. And Mac Jones, again, good luck, man. This is your life. This is the opportunity that you feel you were denied in New England, were denied in Jacksonville. Now it's on you. Let's see what you can do. Let's see what you can do. And maybe one of the biggest things we've gotten wrong is we've always assumed, like, you know, Brock is really lucky to be a 49er and all of these guys are making him better. We could learn it's the other way around. That could also happen here, where it's really Brock Purdy is the guy that's making a lot of these Niners better than they really are. That stat that you, can you share that stat again on the offensive line, Larry? Pressure rates to actually sack surrendered, and how that shows that Brock runs himself out of more trouble than this offensive line actually keeps him out of.
Yeah, I mean, the stat is
a fascinating stat. This is real. I think this is important, actually.
Yeah, it's, to me, there was this is a great week for stats, but the stat here it is. Since Purdy's been with the Niners,
great week for stats. What a week for stats!
There are some amazing stats this week. I mean, I'll give you three of them.
Okay.
Niner quarterbacks are on pace to be hit 136 times over the course of the regular season. That's pretty alarming. Okay, right. That's way too much.
I don't like pace stats after one game, but okay.
Seattle played their nickel defense 82% of the time. They played their nickel defense 58 out of 71 snaps, including 32 snaps against big personnel, against 12 and 22 personnel. And I asked Kubiak about it, and he said, hey, that's just what they do. But it'll be interesting to see if teams copy that. If teams try to copy, you know, we'll play nickel against the Niners, and we'll have a speed advantage. We'll have a coverage advantage. Just one thing. And then the other one is the one that you just mentioned, which is since Purdy's been with the Niners coming into this year, so years 22, 23, 24, the 49er offensive line in those 3 years has been the eighth worst in the NFL in pressure percentage allowed. So they're one of the worst teams in the league at trying to not have Purdy pressured, but they're ninth best in sack percentage. So there's a ton of pressure, but Brock makes those guys look good by running away from it, knowing where it's coming from, getting rid of it quickly. He doesn't take sacks. Sacks are negative plays. He doesn't take a lot of sacks. He covers his O-linemen. You know, he didn't just give his O-linemen Toyotas. He's giving them a ton. I mean, look at Caleb Williams, for example, by comparison. Caleb Williams has made some amazing throws and can look really good, but he holds the ball forever, and he gave up 68 sacks. And guess what? None of his offensive linemen are going to make the Pro Bowl if he keeps taking 68 sacks in a year.
Well, and let me just tell you.
He knows that. I mean, Brock knows that.
If you think that Brock lets a few balls go that are sort of YOLO-y, watch Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams sprays it like a Tommy gun. He is inaccurate. And it's, you know, as somebody who grew up a Bears fan, I will trade you Caleb Williams for Brock Purdy right now. I mean, like, with the contract, with everything. Like, one is a much better quarterback than the other. Caleb Williams, I don't think, is going to be in Chicago that long, to be totally honest with you. And I think they're going to regret moving on from Justin Fields.
Yeah. Yeah. Fields, by the way, played well in the first game, you know, for the Jets. I mean, I thought that was the best I've seen from Fields in a while.
He looked better. Can we talk a little bit about the rest of the NFC West this week, Larry?
Well, I was going to say, the one thing we got to account for is we do already have 16 supers. So, we got to make sure give us ourselves some time to go through these supers.
We will. Well, let's do it right after we get through what the West looks like and just a little bit of news that we have coming out of this week. Number one, the Seahawks are getting on an airplane and going all the way to the East Coast. That is never easy for any football team to do. By the way, I just saw a stat.
Who do you like in that game, by the way?
I like the Steelers.
I like the Seahawks. It's funny. Sterling and I talked about this last night. He liked the Steelers too. And Aaron Rodgers had 4 touchdown passes in that first game. But, you know, it's interesting. Maybe I'm just biased because, you know, Saleh was talking up the Saints or talking up the Seahawks, and Husak was talking up the Seahawks. But I kind of think the Seahawks might be a little bit better team than they looked last week.
They were. But you know what is also really hard to do? Prove that you were better than you were last week after you've flown 3,500 miles. You know, historically, West Coast teams that ain't full of a lot of piss and vinegar don't get on airplanes and win games on the East Coast.
Seattle last year under Mike McDonald, 3-5 at home, 7-1 on the road. So we'll see.
Okay. Well, then something's got to give, right? By the way, USC hasn't won on the East Coast in like 4,000 days. 4,000 days.
Well, they always play. If they do play East, they play a great team.
Right. You know, well, they're playing Purdue and West Lafayette. So I think they're going to break their streak this week.
That's not a great team.
Yeah. Anyway, by the way, Indiana State, your Friday night standalone game on Big Ten Network. Let's go, Hoosiers. Okay.
Indiana. I didn't even know Indiana State had a football team.
So I like our chances. Seahawks at the Steelers. We got Rams at Titans. That feels like a just give it to the LA Rams win right there. But maybe Cam Ward has a little something waiting for Sean McVay and company. But I like the Rams on the road. I like the Steelers to beat the Seahawks. And then we got Panthers at Cardinals. And, you know, I don't know. That's a coin flip. I really don't know. Cardinals should win that game.
That's a game somebody else needs to watch.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I will.
Panthers, Cardinals. Yeah, I'll see what there's Chiefs, Eagles. There's Chargers, Raiders. There's Falcons, Vikings. There's Bucks, Texans. There's nobody should be watching that.
What's crazy though? It's still going to get 12 million. It's still going to get 12 million people watching it easily. But we got an interesting week for the West, and if the 49ers want to stay on top, getting out of New Orleans with a win would be a really, really good idea. You look at some NFL news, Larry, last night, there's no denying, the Packers look good. I mean, they do. The Packers look good. They handled the Commanders on Thursday Night Football. Wide receiver Jaden Reed, though, broke his collarbone.
Saw that.
And he's going to be out a long time.
Austin Eckler blew his Achilles. He's done for the year. His career.
Raise your hand if you got Austin Eckler on your fantasy team.
I don't, but I have Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt call me Bill. So I'm feeling pretty good about that.
By the way, how do the Commanders feel about trading Brian Robinson right now?
Yeah. Why would any trading running backs is dumber than trading starting pitching? Trading running backs is literally dumping water out of your canteen in mile one of the 26-mile marathon. Why would you ever dump water out of your canteen when you're running a marathon? Why would you ever get rid of a viable NFL running back? And I, you know, it's like the Niners were dumb for getting rid of Mason, but the Commanders were dumber for getting rid of Brian Robinson. I mean, I don't get it. I would stash so many backs. I'd have all kinds of backs. I'd have practice squad backs. I'd have guys on speed dial. I'd have contingency plans for running backs all over the place.
I would have a whole floor at the Marriott in Levi's Stadium parking lot, just with full of players that I might need. I might just buy out a floor for the year and just tell everyone, stay right here. We might need you. By the way, another reason why I like the Steelers is because Aaron Rodgers is one touchdown away from tying Brett Favre 4th on the all-time passing touchdown list. Brady is number 1 at 649, Breeze number 2 at 571, Peyton Manning at 539, Favre is at 508, Rodgers at 507. So if Rodgers throws 2 touchdowns this weekend against Seattle, he is in 4th place by himself on the all-time touchdowns list. So, you know, when Aaron's got a little stick up his ass and something to prove, you usually get a good game out of him. So we'll see. Finally, the one last thing I want to let everyone know about, you know, teams that nobody loves and everybody's shitting on right now. When your games played to players only meetings ratio is 1-1, you're in trouble. And the Miami Dolphins have already had a players only meeting. Nothing could say, yeah, we're sort of done with our head coach, like a players only meeting after 1 week of football. Mike McDaniel's not going to make it to Halloween at this pace, Larry.
No, he is not.
Let me ask you, were you trekking down to Santa Clara as often as you are now during the Mike McDaniels actually being allowed to speak on Tuesday's portion of Mike McDaniel being here? Because he was so weird and quirky that he became a little bit of a darling in the media. But the entire time as I was watching him up there being a media darling and quirky, I was thinking, how does that play in front of a room full of football guys? How does that play in a room full of men?
I hear what you're saying, but you're focusing, and I think other people are focusing on the wrong guy here. The problem is not that Mike McDaniel doesn't work in the NFL. The problem is that Tua Tagovailoa doesn't work in the NFL. Tua Tagovailoa does not read coverage. Does not. Go look at his progressions after the first read is not there. When the first read is not there, it is game over for Tua Tagovailoa. He was very accurate at times for Alabama. He was surrounded by an unbelievable amount of talent when he was at Alabama. And nobody ever asked the question, can this guy read pass coverage? But he can't. And if you watch, and there's some brilliant play design from McDaniel. McDaniel is maybe one of the most talented play designers in the game today. And Tua will execute his great calls all the time, but when it isn't there and he's got to go through progressions, he cannot do it.
Well, let me just tell
you, he's not a progression reader. As Greg Cosell would say in a very clinical, non-judgmental way, he's not a great late in the down thrower, which basically means he sucks.
Late in the down, as if you got a lot of time and any down to do something.
He's not a great late in the down. That's what he used to say about Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, Larry, he's not a great late in the down thrower. In other words, if Kyle Shanahan's genius play doesn't work, Jimmy's fucked.
Well, yeah.
That's basically it. And Tua is the same thing.
Right. First read not open. Good luck with that. So, look, when McDaniel does get fired, will he be back in Santa Clara? I mean, do you send a plane for Mike and say, come on back, baby. We got Robert back. We got you back. You know, might as well bring Nick Sorensen back just to like hang out, you know?
Possibly. I mean, you know, I mean, the you know, when the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree becomes kindling, you throw those guys back on the fire. I mean, look, you want to be a head coach. Everybody does. But if you don't get to be a head coach, you know what's the next best job? Being a coordinator on a team that's going to win the Super Bowl. So people are always going to want to coach here. They're going to want to coach any place where they, you know, the one thing that's really clear from listening to Eddie Pinheiro this week at his locker, he could have gone to the Falcons. He could have signed with a number of teams this summer and just didn't. And we asked him why. And it was pretty obvious. He's like, never won. He wants to win. He's like, chose the Niners over the Falcons because he thinks he can win here. If he thought he could win, if it was the Niners and the Chiefs, he probably would have gone to Kansas City.
Well, I mean, and you'd think he wants to win. And a kicker, here's the thing. A kicker's next job is not correlated to whether or not his team had success with him or not. A kicker's next job is, am I making my kicks? And you'd think a kicker would pick a dome, but he didn't. He's coming here to Santa Clara. So that's a good thing, I guess.
I think the Niners lucked out huge.
What if opening drive, 49ers drive, but they stall a little bit, Pinheiro comes out and misses his first field goal? Oh.
Well, then we're no worse off than when we were. By the way,
yes. Bear
on
down,
that note,
Chicago Bears. You are that, the
don't say it. Don't say it.
Shanking kicks. Bear down, Chicago Bears. Nothing's ever gonna get better around here.
Look at that.
Soon.
Former Niner kicker Jake Moody is signing with the Chicago Bears practice squad. There's your guy.
I'm done.
There's your guy. No, but I was gonna say about this one. not about him going to the Bears, but about the kicker thing. So I talked, I'm talking to Eddie Pinheiro at his locker, right? And first of all, the Niners lucked out. You're telling me that the third most accurate kicker in the history of the NFL was available and you chose to stay with Jake Moody? I mean, for a few bucks, probably, right? Because you had Jake on a rookie contract. You didn't want to spend the money. But guess, I mean, I have a feeling, Damon, I'll make the prediction. I think this kicker is going to be great. I think he's going to come in. He's going to make a bunch of kicks. Why? Because that's what he is. He's made 88% of his kicks in his career. He's been in Carolina the last 3 years where he averaged 90%. There was a veteran kicker. And by the way, when he was talking yesterday at his locker or the other day, he said, he's like, hey, man, it's the NFL. He's like, you either make kicks. he goes, you make kicks or you're gone. And he, it's like the pressure of that is very, very hard to get used to, right? If like you're not used to that, you're like, oh, suddenly it's like, hey, man, if I make this kick, I'm going to be here. If I miss this kick, I'm out of here. And the pressure, some guys can handle the pressure, some guys can't. But guy like Pinheiro, who's been in the league, laughs about it. He's like, hey, you know, it's the NFL. You either make kicks or you're gone. And it's like he's totally come to grips with it.
Yeah,
and that is a different mind space than where Jake Moody is. And the fact that the Niners waited so long to go to this, you know, they lucked out. They lucked out, and it's going to wind up working out, but they lucked out. I mean, it's unbelievable that they waited as long as they waited.
All I can tell
you, they could have lost week one. They could have lost home field advantage. This is supposed to be the Super Bowl's here, for crying out loud.
Larry, Shanahan and John Lynch's instincts were correct. And when Moody goes into the Hall of Fame, he'll be wearing a Bears uniform. Yeah. Bear down, Chicago Bear. Okay, super chats. Let's go. Good God.
Can you imagine that? I mean, who's the Bears kicker right now?
What's my guy? My boy, Santos.
Who is the guy who... the triple doink. Remember that guy? Was his name Cade something? Or God, what was his name? It was a Bear, right? It was the bear who hit three. He hit, you know, boom, 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 right?
The crossbar and both uprights.
Unbelievable. All right. Let's hit some supers. But first, let me tell you one quick thing about my good friends at Habas Law, because they are a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. Thanks to Habas Law. And I want to share this with you. If you're out here in the Bay Area, check out Hot Yoga Republic in Mill Valley. They're teaming up with Vitalant for a blood drive. And it's September 25th and 26th. It's at their studio in Strawberry Village Shopping Center. Here's the deal. You just roll up your sleeves. You give blood. You save a life. Every 2 seconds, somebody needs a blood transfusion. Accident victims, kids in chemo, moms in childbirth, real people, our people, Bay Area people, Northern California people. And if you can't make it to Mill Valley, no problem. Visit hotyogarepublic.com and you'll find Vitalant donation sites all over the Bay. That's hotyogarepublic.com. And a huge shout out to our friends at Habas Law for backing this. Omar Tarek and their whole team. They're fierce. They're relentless. They're always fighting to make it right for our community. They're great attorneys. And, you know, my dad was an attorney. My brother's a judge. My sister's an attorney. I know the difference between a good attorney and a bad attorney. And these guys are great attorneys. Habas Law, 1-800-INJURED. They will fight to make it right. Thanks to Habas Law for being so involved in the community, whether it be blood drives, animal adoptions. They're just really rooted here in the community. I'm really proud to be associated with Habas Law. So,
well,
1-800-INJURED and Habas Law, they will fight to make it right. Omar and Tarek Habas, they're fantastic attorneys. Go ahead, Damon.
I had a friend of mine in my fraternity in college who was a hemophiliac. And so, you know, we learned an awful lot about blood. He needed blood. And so we did massive blood drives when I was at Indiana University. And my fraternity, like, set a campus blood drive record. And that's because we were giving away free six packs to anyone who...
donated blood. I mean,
give a pint of blood, then have a few beers. you get drunk real fast. So we sent our blood drive into a party. We didn't let the American Red Cross know about that. And this, they're like, why are you guys so successful? We're like, well, look, Jude is a hemophiliac and we love this guy and we're doing it for him. Meanwhile, we're just getting hammered with chicks giving blood. Anyways, give blood, everybody. The main point isn't give blood then drink a beer. It's give blood and really help people. It's one of the nicest things you can do to help a medical community that without blood donations is totally screwed. So please give blood. Thank you to Habas. Larry, let's super chat away.
Fuji Simeon in the house. He says, Larry, future merch, coasters, koozies, stickers.
See, I'm you want to know why he's asking? Because Jillian decided to take a 10 milligram gummy and come on down here and do some new merches. So we got some koozies. We got a few new things happening on Damon Bruce Plus, and Fuji Simeon has already made a purchase. We sent him a thank you video just last night. So I think he's looking for some new gear from you, Larry.
Well, I just want to show you guys that the Krug Show store is up right now on YouTube. So if you go to the Krug Show and you see the store moniker up here up top, and all these things are for sale. There's t-shirts, there's sweatshirts. This is a really cool sweatshirt, this white one with the embroidered logo. The big logo t-shirt's probably the number one seller. There's phone cases, there's mugs.
I like the phone case. I might have to tell Jillian about that. Get the logo on the phone case.
There's also this one thing, the you're effing lazy shirt, which basically on the back it says you're effing lazy.
Nice. Lara. Which,
yeah.
Lara.
You're effing lazy. Anyway, thanks to all you guys. But yeah, lots of Krug Show merch. Check it out at the store on our page. All right, let's hit some more. Mason Davis, should I start Ricky with Mac or Adunze in my flex? I like Ricky. I think Ricky's going to be a really good player. I don't know if you saw the numbers, but if you just take Ricky's last three games, okay, and you extrapolate those stats out to a 17 game schedule, it's like 108 catches, 11 touchdowns, and, you know, 1800 yards. So the last three games that Ricky has played, he has played really at a very high level. And if he can continue that level, I'd roll with Ricky. What do you think?
Another reason why I hate this Brock injury is because the two of them are developing early career chemistry. And now that has to wait another week or two to continue. You know, no practice for Brock and Ricky, no game reps for Brock and Ricky. Like, that sucks. That's another thing that just thinks about this. I hope Pearsall can really present himself and be the target that Mac Jones needs.
Blood Moon's in the house. He says, if Jones has a good game or two, I can already see certain content creators and possibly the media talking about whether extending Brock was the move.
You can bet on it. You can bank on it.
Yeah, you know it. I mean, that gun's already been holstered. You know, I'll say that. Mike Ogre says, Krug, word on the street is you can get Gator Nuggets at the Superdome. Stoked to see Mac to Jordan Watkins connection. Niners by 3 on a Pinheiro fourth quarter field goal. Nice. Eddie De Niro Pinheiro.
Yes. So forget about Money Moody. Now you got De Niro Pinheiro.
Pinheiro. I wouldn't eat Gator Nuggets in the dome.
No, you want your Gator prepared by someone who isn't just like throwing it in a deep fryer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Koshan or nothing for me on the Gator. MSQ says, how much better would the Niners' O-line be if they move Barch inside at center and Colby to left guard? Also, with Eddie P's accuracy, how's his power? He's hit from 56. He's had multiple 55-yarders as well. So I think he's got a good leg. I don't think it's a monster leg.
How is the third most accurate kicker available?
Money. That was the thing. He's like, you know, I don't know what the Niners are paying him, but he wanted to play for a winner, but yeah, he could have signed at any
point. Here's the thing. So at some point
he was in Carolina last year,
but at some point you think that he would choose some money over no money.
Oh, well, no, but You know, I think it's like, you know, it's a good point by you, but I would say this. I think these guys, like, they know, like, everybody knows who the best kickers are, and like, somebody was coming for him this summer, and it just happened that it was, you know, it was the Niners at this spot. But yeah, it makes you wonder. And what if this guy goes on and has a great, let's say, 5-year run with the Niners where he makes some high percentage, we're going to laugh at this whole Jake Moody thing. Remember when they were screwing around with that rookie Jake Moody? But you know what? They were trying to, I mean, it should be a loud statement. Never, ever, 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 ever use a pick on a kicker or a punter on day one or day two. And
forget about to me, almost anything other than the last round. If you take your punter or kicker in anything other than the seventh round, you're out of your mind. You need to draft football players, and a punter nor a kicker is ever to be regarded as a football player. They're just guys on a football team.
I mean, if you know, if you're drafting a kicker or a punter super early, you're either way smarter than everybody else or way dumber. Right. And we know what it is.
Or you are as loaded to bear as any team built in the NFL, and this is the cherry on top that puts you over the top.
Blood Moon, not signing another quarterback tells me Brock Purdy is not out long.
I hope you're right. I think you're right. We'll also see what they do.
I hope you're right.
We'll see what they do next week, too.
Braden Oberst. I haven't heard that last name before, an Oberst. To Krug and Damon, thank you all for the great content. I listen to all your shows, Larry, through Spotify while working on night shift to keep me awake. By far, the best 49er content that I can find. Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Cheers.
There's a lot of people doing a lot of good stuff. I'll just say that. But thank you. I appreciate you. MSQ, and I really, Damon and I, as longtime radio guys, we really do have an appreciation for the person who says, "You get me through your work day." There's always something very gratifying about that. I always loved it. Somebody said, "Hey man, I deliver blah, blah, blah. I deliver bread. I deliver milk. I'm in the truck all day. You guys get me through," you know, that is a great feeling.
Yeah. That is a great feeling. So I did a call in show on Tuesday, and the last call I took came from this guy who'd been listening to my show for years. And he said, "You know, my grandfather and I didn't have a lot to talk about, but he listened to your show an awful lot. And my grandfather and I would talk about you and the show that you were hosting. And it meant so much. It really brought us together." And that is the stuff that just, Larry, you know that too. Whenever you know that you become part of a family or a family's connection, like, that is, you know, that's the fringe benefit of being a broadcaster. That means a lot.
Well, I mean, there's broadcasting, but then there's sports talk. And broadcasting, like, you know, being like John Miller, you know, and play-by-play, it's different. It, in some ways, you could argue, you know, some people argue it's better or worse. I wouldn't dare to argue better or worse on that.
Much different job.
Much different. But there's something very personal about, you know, people come up to me all the time, and you as well, I'm sure. And they come up to you and they say hello and they embrace you, and it's like you're their old friend, and they know you, and they've been listening for a long time. And it's like that kind of stuff is like really, really, I mean, it's very personal. It's like, hey, if somebody's going to listen to you in their car, in their home, you know, I'm not saying you're family, but it's personal. It's very personal.
A radio broadcaster is usually the only broadcaster that you bring into the bathroom with you, right? Like, you listen to a radio in the bathroom while you're naked. That's intimate. That's a connection. That really is. And dude, I was at a back to school night last night. It was Jack's back to school night. And this dad comes up to me. He's like, "Dude," he's like, "I watch you and Larry every week." I was like, "Oh, thank you. Thank you very, very much." He's like, "I love your guys' show." Huge. He is a really nice guy that I met last night. So thank you. I think it was, what his name was, it was Tori. I think I'm sorry if I screwed that up, but really nice guy. Tats everywhere, man. Tats like up to his neck.
That's my dad. MSQ, breaking news. Jake Moody signs with the Bears practice squad. Yeah, we saw it. We broke it. We broke it. Joseph Ehrenberg, how many games does Mikel get a pass with zero production until we question him the whole season? I'm sick of these long-term development.
Well, it's one game. Picks. You know, it's one game. Let's let him get his sea legs underneath him. Let's get back to where Mikel Williams is in his career, somewhere around the bye week.
I mean, here's the thing about this. It's like, you know, it's funny. Dieter gave him a B minus. Okay, that's fine. But I said to Dieter, I said, hey, Dieter, you gave him a B minus. He didn't have a sack. He didn't have a pressure. He didn't have a hurry. He didn't have a tackle. He didn't have an assist. He didn't have anything. It's like, what would you grade him if you had two sacks and four tackles? I mean, you know what I mean? You'd be giving him an A. So I think there's potential there, but you got to produce. And when Robert Saleh was asked about him, he's like, yeah, he did some good things, but he did some things he needs to, you know. Basically, Robert Saleh basically said to us that he doesn't even know what he's doing. That oftentimes he's like, when he knows what he's supposed to do, he's great. But it sounds like he doesn't know what he's supposed to do.
Well, that sounds like coaching to me.
Yeah. So we'll see. Joseph Ehrenberg. Oh, we got that one. We got this one here from Mark's Maine. Sorry, guys. Couldn't find any baby turtles to save this week. Now I'm nervous. Please, no more injuries. Is there something in the water? God.
When it comes to the Niners, it really does feel like it. There is an inexplicable amount of injuries attached to this team. And all you got to do is look across the rest of the NFL. There's no other team, even though they're all in the same league, who gets hurt quite like this one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what to say about it at this point. Eric Darby says, get a po' boy in Louisiana, Krug. Always love the show. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate you.
Yeah, well, the question is, will you go roast beef or will you go shrimp po' boy?
Oh, no, the shrimp po' boy is the way to get it done. Remember, you know what I loved during Super Bowl week when they had Satterans making the po' boys right there on Radio Row?
That was nice.
That was a nice, I mean, granted, a lot of times that was morning, but still, I mean, I'll have a po' boy anytime, day, night.
Yeah, it's like a slice of pizza. I don't care what the clock says. I'll take one.
Joseph Ehrenberg, Brock is not $47 million better than Mac. Oh, here we go.
Again, that's how.
Here we go.
Here's the thing. He might be right.
Here we go.
You might be right.
MSQ, the Giants are a game and a half behind the wild card spot and the Dodgers this weekend. Go Giants.
You want to see this to the end?
How amazing would it be if the Giants made the playoffs? That might be the most. This would be, it would rival 2021 as the most unlikely sports season of my life, regardless of sport. If the Giants make the playoffs this year, that would be almost as wild as them winning 107 in 2021.
Bob Melvin would be like anything else, critics, right? You know. Yeah. Here's all I can tell you. This.
I hope it happens, man. I'm rooting for him.
I did. Well, here's the thing: if you're a Major League Baseball team that has really good pitching, and you start hitting the baseball as well, good things can happen. And that's all that's happened with the Giants. The Giants have been pitching really well for about two straight decades.
They lost Randy Rodriguez, though. That was a crusher.
But in years that they actually get the ball out of the infield and have a team batting average for a week around 300-ish, they win games. And that's what's going on here. So this weekend, this is it. This is, you know, we joked around earlier. When you get to the fork in the road, take it. Here it is, Larry. This is either going to be the weekend that really launches a playoff push or will be the last bit of reality check that anyone really needs in that regard. But by Monday, you will either have an awful lot of reason to pay attention to the Giants and do some out-of-town scoreboard watching, or by Monday, you're going to be 3 weeks into your football season and baseball's basically over. When do the Warriors start?
I'm rooting for it, man. I want it bad. I want it. I love playoff baseball, and I love the Giants, but they've just been horrible to watch. It's boring as shit. It's been awful. But you know what? I'm there for them. If they can make it, I'll be there yelling and screaming and watching it. I'll be super fired up if they can do it. MSQ says, any predictions on Crawford Canelo fight tomorrow night? I kind of like Crawford. I mean, Canelo's got some power, but I've never been the biggest Canelo fan. I like Crawford.
I got no opinion on that one way or the other. I'm hearing about it basically for the first time right now. So
that's good honesty. Blood Moon says Mac in the wings will make Brock Purdy be better. Mac hanging in the wings. Like Joe and Steve, Brock Purdy is better than Jones. Brock Purdy solidified it in week one. Would Jones pull it off? No, Brock Purdy is QB one.
I mean, I don't think I'm ready to compare them to the greatest future Hall of Famer ever pushing a Hall of Famer quarterback room in football history. But I don't know.
Mac Jones is going to have to get rid of the ball fast. To me, it's just like the one thing about Mac Jones is he can't move. And the one thing about the Niner offensive line is it's not good. So you got a quarterback behind a line that's not good that got Brock Purdy hit 8 times last week. And now you got a Saints team that sacked Kyler Murray, who's super fast, 5.5 times. So I would say get rid of the ball. Get rid of the ball, Mac. Do not hold the football because Cam Jordan's coming. Fuji, Simeon, Larry, which college team are you most impressed with? I would probably have to say Florida State. You know, Florida State wasn't very good last year. They lost some guys to the NFL, and then they beat Bama. I'm very impressed by them. I'm very impressed by the Cal quarterback. I'm very impressed by the Michigan quarterback.
Do you dare say the Cal quarterback's name? Do you want to try it? Sagapolatele? Is that it?
Yeah, it's is it Caden? What's his first name?
I don't know. I was just wondering the last name. I think it's Sagapolatele.
KPS or something like that.
Yeah. Either way, good luck.
Though.
By the way, maybe the most impressive team in the country is South Florida. They're the only team that I think has beaten 2 ranked teams so far. There are a few interesting games. Minnesota, by the way, is at Cal on Saturday night. That is a 7:30 game on ESPN. Georgia, Tennessee, a couple of ranked teams. South Florida, Miami, a couple of ranked teams.
By the way, you mentioned South Florida. South Florida's got a linebacker named Mac Harris that you guys have to check out. He wears number 24. He's a grad student. He's a Florida kid, and he's super athletic. He's 6 feet, 235, kind of a short linebacker, but he's just super fast. I saw him a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, oh, my goodness, that guy. Wait till the draft comes around, but you'll remember that name, Mac Harris. I'm also taping Notre Dame and A&M this week. I can't wait to watch that. MSQ.
Who's LSU playing Saturday night?
Florida.
Oh, that's right.
Gators. Nice. National TV, ABC, 4:30 West Coast, 6:30 Central. I'll be there sweating. MSQ, Yamamoto, Kershaw, Glasnow versus Verlander, Webb, and Ray. You know what? Bring them
Wasn't
on.
Wasn't Ohtani scheduled for tonight?
What's that?
Wasn't Ohtani the scheduled starter tonight? They skipping him?
No, they skipped. They're missing him. They're missing Ohtani. Okay. I never saw Ohtani listed. I saw this trio listed: Yamamoto, Kershaw, Glasnow. Fuji in the house. Off topic, Larry. Your take on Drew Gilbert? Also, will there be a surge of little leaguers biting teammates' jerseys and emitting Drew's high energy? LOL. Well, I mean, I got to be honest. The hand around the neck is a little much. And you know, the guy comes across like a total spaz, but you know what, who cares? The Giants were so dead and they had all these dead Yaz guys doing nothing. And I know Yaz has been good in Kansas City. So fucking what? They needed to go younger. This guy's younger. He's got energy. He's giving them lots of energy. I don't think it's accidental, by the way, that this super dull, no energy team got a kind of a high energy player and kind of took off. He's been a great addition.
I think the guys needed him in the dugout. I think that he's just the little bit of oomph that a very quiet, docile dugout needed. So I like Drew Gilbert.
Oh, he's fun to watch. Fuji Simeon says Bears are going to tank with Moody to get the first pick.
That's how you do it. Whenever you really want to tank, you go through the kicker's spot.
Fuji Simeon says, thanks, Larry and Damon. I'm planning holiday shopping.
Thank you, Fuji.
Get the merch.
Seriously, who supports us more than Fuji Simeon?
Dude, Fuji's the man. 831 Alex M. Mac finds Ricky in the end zone this weekend. Yep, I see
it. Hope you're right.
I can see it. Fuji in the house.
Which tight end, Larry, which tight end do you think plays the majority of this game for the 49ers? Is it going to be Tongas or is it going to be Farrell?
Well, no, they're going to have to use them both. I mean, I think Farrell, because it's going to be a run heavy scheme.
Have they made the decision to call up Willis?
Yeah, they have. I mean, okay. I don't know if they'll make it official on Saturday, but that they've indicated that that's what they're going to do. You may even see Juice at tight end a little bit. Also, if you get a chance tonight at 6 o'clock, Niners Nightly is on YouTube only. But Mike Dettillier is going to stop by from WWL. But also, I did a locker room interview yesterday with the newest 49er. The Niners signed a tight end to their practice squad. His name is Messiah Swinson. I mean, how awesome is that? Messiah Swinson. So we talked about that name, and we had a really nice conversation. So check that out tonight.
Did you tell him he needs a deal with Swinton's ice cream?
Swenson's?
He's close. Isn't it Swinton's? Isn't that
A Swenson's on Union Street and Hyde in the city.
It's
been there forever.
It's not Swinton's. It's Swenson's?
Yeah, Swenson's.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, he's
Fuji says, so Larry, are koozies and coasters a possibility? Gotta talk to Kev.
Koozies and coasters.
I don't know. I don't want Damon's wife to, give us a cease and desist letter. Hey, wait a second. The koozies and coasters were proprietary to the Plus.
We were talking about how Damon Bruce can really corner the market of YouTube success, and Jillian chose the koozies. And anyone who is trying to go koozies is just stepping all over us. So don't you dare, Larry.
I forget what country Western singer sings koozie in my hand. And I think it's Jake Owen. Jake Owen. Look it up.
I don't know.
Joseph, I'm a country guy. Joseph Ernberg, this is my favorite shower show. Niners win 35-7.
Thank you, Joseph. It's good to know Joseph is naked with us in his shower, giving supers and hating Brock.
Wake up, brought to you by Soap on a Rope. Did you ever get soap on a rope? It works until the soap, gets watered down, and then the rope part, it falls off the rope.
I was never in a soap. I never needed soap on a rope. I was never in a, should I drop this soap? I'm in jeopardy situation. So I've never had the soap on a rope.
Soap on a rope. I remember we got it from my dad one Christmas. He liked Pierre Cardin. I got him the Pierre Cardin cologne and soap on a rope. Braden Oberst might have heard my uncle's last name, Robert Oberst, from The World's Strongest Man.
Oh, okay.
Look at that.
So what you bench? Braden, what are you benching?
What are you benching, Braden?
If your father is the world's strongest man, don't you have an obligation to be like repping out 325?
Oh, dude, you better be. I don't know about 325, but I would say three plates, which is 315. If you're related to anybody who's the strongest man in the world, you got to be putting up 315.
Yeah. Who's your dad? Well, my dad was the Mountain from Game of Thrones. And
PWS kickers are football players, not football players. LOL.
True.
Maybe the Niners could find a soccer player to convert. Fuji Simeon Damon, the dad with the tattoos, could be a doctor.
Could, yes. I'm going to assume not, though, but thank you.
Clawdaddy Arcades, who is sending us to New Orleans. We are going to New Orleans courtesy of Clawdaddy Arcades.
Now, is he partying with you? Is he flying out there with you on this trip?
I don't think so, because he's too busy running Clawdaddy Arcades, but he is funding it, and he's a great follow on Instagram @claw_daddy_arcades to find a location near you with brand new locations. He just opened at Capitola Mall. He's opening in Visalia Mall. Clawdaddy Arcades. Clawdaddy, you're going to love what we're going to do. We're going to walk through the quarter. We're going to get people yelling and screaming Clawdaddy Arcades. Show me your Clawdaddies. Show me your Clawdaddies. How do you think that will go over?
I don't know.
I don't know. But Clawdaddy Arcades is sending us to New Orleans. Thank you, Clawdaddy. And there'll be lots of Clawdaddy mentions this weekend. MSQ, thoughts on Rodriguez's Tommy John surgery? It sucks. He's going to miss all this year, all next year.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel bad for him. Lander Film. to Damon's point, Mac can't move like Brock. And with that O-line the way it is, do we see 22 personnel? I mean, yeah, I think there's a very good chance the Niners are going to come out and big people and try to run it.
That ball's going to get out fast. It's got to get out fast.
Got to get out fast. Otherwise, it's going to be a long, long day. And we got this one. Let's see if we can just get to it. There we go. Oh, wait. Hit the wrong button. There we go. Fuji Simeon. Ew, Larry, an SI Wildcat and a country music fan. Yeah, that's right. I mean, I like it all. I mean, I'm the only guy who can, you know, I can go from old school rap to heavy metal to country to classical to anything. I mean, I've got very eclectic music taste, but I do enjoy country. A girl I was dating one time got me going on country. I wasn't into it at the time. I fought it. And then after we broke up, I kind of liked it. So I don't know why. I kind of like it. Now, I don't like old. I'm not an old school, you know, all my rowdy friends have settled down. I mean, that's not a bad riff, but I like more of the new country than the old country.
Big Carrie Underwood fan.
Not a big Carrie. I'll tell you who I love Jordan Davis. I'm a big fan of Jordan Davis, not Jordan Davis, the Eagles defensive tackle, right. Jordan Davis, the country western singer.
The Carrie Underwood makes $1 million per episode of her singing the Sunday Night Football Open. And she records that all in one day. So basically she makes $18 million in one day. She goes, the song is the only part of the song that is affected by based on the game is like the middle part of the song when it just, you know, now I'm going to sing a little something about the teams that are playing tonight. So she records the whole song. Then she just goes in and does that middle verse variant and they cut her a check for $18 million. Good work. If you can find it, Larry.
Wow. Yeah. And my answer to that is hit like and subscribe, everybody. Please hit like and subscribe.
No one's paying me nearly 18 million.
Buy the mug in our store is 17 million. So if I could just sell one of those, I'd be fine.
I just want one member to come in at the $18 million price point. And by the way, I'll let you move in my house.
Javier Moreno, when you get to New Orleans, Larry, we'll be there tonight. I'll be there tonight.
So, landing late?
Landing around 10.
What time is kickoff in Baton Rouge for you tomorrow?
Baton Rouge. Yeah. I thought you meant Niners. It's a 4:30 West Coast start. We're in the Central Time Zone, so it'll be a 6:30.
That's good. Thank God you don't have like an early morning, and you're going to a night game. That's right. That's the LSU night game, dude.
So we're going to get down there early. We're going to get down there early and work the parking lot. There's going to be all kinds of, videos.
I heard it is the single most like welcoming, come eat with us, come drink with us. Like there are a few tailgates that are famous for how generous they are to new people and welcome, and LSU is one of them. So have a great time, man.
Oh, we are. Fuji says Carrie Underwood could do so many super chats. So LOL.
Many. So many.
And Marcus Ralph, two first names. Mac Jones is going to expand the playbook. He can sling it. Only concern is his decision making and the O-line, but I can see Mac killing it.
I would, you know, with the right complement of decision wide receivers, I think the right complement of wide receivers would have filed all of that under maybe. I just don't think he's got the guys to throw it to and the targets to get really aggressive with. So I think it's going to be a subdued Mac Jones performance, but I don't care. He just needs to game manage them to the win column. That's what he needs to do. He doesn't need to be a hero.
The key is run it, let New Orleans put that extra defender in the box and then throw it over the top of their head to Jordan Watkins. I could see the Niners running it a lot, but I could also see Mac going up top a couple times in the second half and connecting. Mac throws a really pretty deep ball. He really does. Jameson Wang says, Krug, I'm going to the game. Hoping I can meet up with you and Kev pregame. We'll be there.
You're going to John Chapman's tailgate, right?
I'm going to John Chapman's tailgate. I'm going to I'm going to a killer party that Mike D'Attelier in WWL is doing a broadcast pregame show for LSU. And it's in the parking lot of a Trader Joe's in Baton Rouge. And Mike says the food is just absolutely off the chain. So we're going to stop by there as well. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a good time, and I will tilt one back. And if you see me in the quarter, come over and say hello. God, the supers just keep raining down here. I'm trying to bolt for the door, but Jameson Wang says, look at my DM on Instagram. I'm from Berkeley and go to medical school in New Orleans.
Oh, there you go.
Jameson, we'll hook up, man. I'll DM you back, and we'll hook up on your coordinates, and we'll throw one back together.
Med school in New Orleans. Was he a Tulane? Must be a Tulane.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure. There's probably a private school there that's outside of Tulane, but probably Tulane. Marcus Ralph says we have deep threats that we can use with Mac. Yeah. Jordan Watkins. I'm telling you, Jordan Watkins had a prominent role at practice the other day. Don't think for a second that they won't throw him out there. They will. All right. That's going to do it for us. 37 supers. We're an hour and 20 minutes in. That's going to do it for us. I'm going to finish packing and go pick up Kev and head to the airport. So thanks to all you guys. Thanks to,
24-17 49ers.
I'm going 21-17. Yeah. 21-17 Niners. Though I do think there's a chance of a blowout. I think the Niners do have a chance to blow them out, because I don't think Rattler's all that great. But I'm going to say low-scoring game. I definitely like the under, because I think the Niners are going to run it. I think the Saints are going to run it. I think it's going to shorten the game. I like a low-scoring game. So I'm going to say 21-17 49ers, but it could be 21-7. 49ers.
If D'Amador Lenore or Renardo Green, who's ever defending them, if they can just sit on Chris Olave, and Olave doesn't go off, Niners win this game.
That's going to do it for us. Damon, have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday. I will be streaming with you on Monday, our wake up on Monday.
Hotel in New Orleans?
I'm not sure if it will do a hotel or where exactly, but we're going to try to find a killer lookout so it looks cool. So I'll be searching for that when we get to town tomorrow morning. I will definitely go and find us a place. But yes, Monday we will do wake up at 11 o'clock Central, 9 a.m. West Coast, and join us for it. Hopefully we'll talk
see you
about
there. Larry, you and Kev have a wonderful time. I'm excited to, talk about the game and everything, but I can't wait to hear your recap from your trip to Baton Rouge and the Superdome on Monday. We'll see everyone there. Everyone have a great weekend. Thank you so much for watching. Like and subscribe on your way out the door, and thank you so much. Bon voyage, Lawrence.
Peace. Have a great day. Thanks, Damon. Thanks, everybody. See you on Monday. Go Niners. If you see me in the quarter, come say hello.